The Fall of the House of Ahab. This chapter is based on 1 Kings 21, 2 Kings 1. The evil influence that Jezebel exercised over Ahab bore fruit in deeds of shame and violence. There was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up. Strengthened in wrongdoing by Jezebel, Ahab had followed the desires of his evil heart until selfishness controlled him fully. He felt he had a right to whatever he wanted. We see this dominant trait in an incident that took place while Elijah was still a prophet in Israel. Next to the palace was a vineyard belonging to Naboth. Ahab determined to possess it. "Give me your vineyard," he said to Naboth, "that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near, next to my house. And for it, I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or, if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money." Naboth's vineyard had belonged to his ancestors, and he refused to part with it. "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." Naboth's refusal made the selfish king ill. Ahab went into his house sullen and displeased, and he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. Jezebel soon learned what had happened and was offended that anyone would refuse the request of the king. She assured Ahab that he did not need to be sad any longer. "You now exercise authority over Israel," she said. "Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth." Jezebel immediately began to carry out her wicked plan. She wrote letters in the name of the king and sent them to the elders of the city where Naboth lived, saying, "Seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, 'You have blasphemed God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him that he may die." The leaders obeyed this command. The men of his city, the elders and nobles, did as Jezebel had. They was written in the letters which she had sent to them. Then Jezebel went to the king and told him to take the vineyard. So Ahab went down to take possession of the coveted property. The king was not allowed to enjoy what he had gained by fraud and bloodshed without hearing from God. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?'" The Lord further instructed Elijah to pronounce a terrible judgment on Ahab. The guilty ruler, startled at meeting the stern prophet face to face in the vineyard, expressed his fear. "Have you found me, O my enemy?" Without hesitation, the messenger of the Lord replied, "I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your posterity." The house of Ahab was to be completely destroyed, and the Lord declared concerning Jezebel, "The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field." When the king heard this terrifying message, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house." Ahaziah follows the ways of his father and mother. Less than 3 years later, King Ahab met his death at the hands of the Syrians. Ahaziah, his successor, did evil in the sight of the Lord. He served Baal and worshipped him, and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger, as his father Ahab had done. Judgments followed. A disastrous war with Moab, and then an accident that threatened his own life, bore witness to God's wrath against him. Having fallen through the lattice of his upper room, Ahaziah, seriously injured, sent his servants to inquire of Baal-zebub whether he would recover. Through his priests, the god of Ekron was supposed to give information concerning future events. But the predictions came from the prince of darkness. A man of God met Ahaziah's servants and directed them to return to the king with this message. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. The astonished servants hurried back to the king and repeated to him the words of the man of God. The king inquired, what kind of man was it? They answered, a hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist. It is Elijah the Tishbite, Ahaziah exclaimed. He knew that if it was indeed Elijah, the words of doom would surely be fulfilled. Anxious to reverse the judgment, he decided to send for the prophet. Twice Ahaziah sent soldiers to intimidate Elijah, and twice the wrath of God fell on them in judgment. The third company of soldiers humbled themselves before God, and their captain fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him. Man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him, do not be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. During his father's reign, Ahaziah had seen the terrible evidences God had given apostate Israel of how he regards those who set aside the claims of his law. Ahaziah had acted as if these awful realities were nothing more than baseless tales. He had followed Baal, and at last had boldly done this, his most daring rejection of God. Rebellious and unwilling to repent, Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. Modern satanic forms of worship. People today may not bow to heathen gods, yet thousands are worshiping at Satan's shrine as surely as did the king of Israel. The spirit of idol worship is everywhere, although it has taken forms that are more refined and attractive than when Ahaziah sent messengers to the god of Ekron. Faith in the sure word of prophecy is decreasing, and in its place, superstition and satanic witchery are captivating the minds of many. The mysteries of heathen worship are replaced by the dark arts and wonders of spiritistic mediums. Thousands who refuse to accept light from God's word welcome the disclosures of these mediums. Many who shrink from the thought of consulting spirit mediums are attracted by more pleasing forms of spiritism. Others are led astray by Christian Science and by the mysticism of theosophy and other Oriental religions. The apostles of nearly all forms of spiritism claim to have power to heal. And many people go to these healers instead of trusting in the living God and the skill of well-qualified physicians. The mother, watching by the sickbed of her child, exclaims, "Is there no physician who has power to restore my child?" Someone tells her about the cures performed by some psychic, and she trusts her dear one to his charge, placing the child as surely in the hand of Satan as if he were standing by her side. In many cases, the future life of the child is controlled by a satanic power. God had reason to be displeased at Ahaziah's unfaithfulness. What had he not done to inspire Israel with confidence in himself? Yet now, the king of Israel, turning to ask for help from the worst enemy of his people, proclaimed to the heathen that he had more confidence in their idols than in the God of heaven. Men and women dishonor him when they turn from the source of strength and wisdom to ask help or counsel from the powers of darkness. Those who give themselves up to the sorcery of Satan may boast of receiving great benefit, but does this prove that their course is wise or safe? What if life is prolonged? What if they do secure temporal gain? In the end, will it pay to disregard the will of God? All such apparent gain will prove at last to be a complete loss. Ahaziah was followed as king by Jehoram, his brother, who reigned for 12 years. Throughout these years, Jezebel was still living and continued to exercise her evil influence over the nation. Jehoram did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. 2 Kings 3, verse 2-3. During Jehoram's reign over Israel, Jehoshaphat died, and his son, also named Jehoram, ascended the throne of Judah. By his marriage with the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, Jehoram of Judah was closely connected with the king of Israel and followed after Baal just as the house of Ahab had done. Moreover, he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry and led Judah astray. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 6, 11. God did not permit the king of Judah to continue his terrible apostasy without rebuke. The prophet Elijah could not remain silent while Judah was following the same course that had brought the northern kingdom nearly to ruin. The prophet sent Jehoram of Judah a written communication in which the wicked king read the awful words. Thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and have made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot, and also have killed your brothers, those of your father's household, who were better than yourself. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children, your wives, and all your possessions, and you will become very sick. In fulfillment of this prophecy, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians. And they carried away all the possessions that were found in the king's house, and also his sons and his wives, so that there was not a son left to him except Jehoahaz, Ahaziah, Azariah, the youngest of his sons. After all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. Then it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, he died in severe pain. Then Ahaziah, Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his place. Verses 12 to 19. 2 Kings 8, verse 24. Ahaziah ruled only 1 year, and during this time, influenced by his mother, Athaliah, who advised him to do wickedly, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 3, 4. Jezebel, his grandmother, was still living, and he allied himself boldly with Jehoram of Israel, his uncle. The surviving members of the house of Ahab were indeed his counselors, to his ruin. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 4, NRSV. While Ahaziah was visiting his uncle at Jezreel, God directed the prophet Elisha to send one of the sons of the prophets to Ramoth-Gilead to anoint Jehu, king of Israel. At that time, the combined forces of Judah and Israel were engaged in a military campaign against the Syrians. Jehoram had been wounded in battle and had returned to Jezreel, leaving Jehu in charge of the armies. The messenger of Elisha solemnly gave Jehu a special commission from heaven. You shall strike down the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. 2 Kings 9, verse 6 to 8. Jehu takes the kingship. After the army proclaimed him king, Jehu hurried to Jezreel, where he began his work of execution. Jehoram of Israel, Ahaziah of Judah, and Jezebel the queen mother, with all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, were killed. All his great men and his close acquaintances and his priests were put to the sword. The temple of Baal was laid in ruins, the idolatrous images burned. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal from Israel. 2 Kings 10, verse 11, 28. News of this general execution reached Athaliah, Jezebel's daughter, who still occupied a commanding position in the kingdom of Judah. When she saw that her son, the king of Judah, was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 10. This massacre killed all the descendants of David who were eligible for the throne except one, a baby named Joash, whom the wife of Jehoiada the high priest hid in the temple. For 6 years the child remained hidden, while Athaliah reigned over the land. Verse 12. At the end of this time, the Levites and all Judah, 2 Chronicles 23, verse 8, united with Jehoiada the high priest in crowning the child Joash and proclaiming him their king. And they clapped their hands and said, Long live the king! 2 Kings 11, verse 12. When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people to the temple of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 23, verse 12. When she looked, there was the king standing by a pillar according to custom, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. Athaliah tore her clothes and cried out, "Treason! Treason!" 2 Kings 11, verse 14. But Jehoiada commanded the officers to lay hold of Athaliah and her followers and lead them out of the temple to be executed. In this way, the last member of the house of Ahab died. The terrible evil that Ahab's alliance with Jezebel had unleashed continued till the last of his descendants was destroyed. Immediately after the execution of the unrepentant queen Athaliah, all the people of the land went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They thoroughly broke in pieces its altars and images and killed Matan, the priest of Baal. 2 Kings 11, verse 18. Reformation followed. Those who took part in recognizing Joash as king had made a solemn pact that they should be the Lord's people. And now that the daughter of Jezebel had been removed from Judah, and the priests of Baal had been killed and their temple destroyed, all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. 2 Chronicles 23, verse 16, 21.